Mockery rocks. I'm Rocky's dad, he said so casually. Rocky's mom and I saw a movie on Monday, the 10th of February. I worry that that movie got no Academy Award nominations. We saw Richard Jewell, About My Hometown When I Was Not There, the 1996 Olympics. They made a park so that there could be a central gathering place, and people did gather. There was a backpack with a pipe bomb inside. I had almost forgotten that incident, but Clint Eastwood made a movie about it, and it was pretty good. My wife liked it because of Kathy Bates. She did a fantastic job playing the mother. And the real Richard Jewell is now deceased. The actor in the movie occasionally touched his chest as if there were a pain. And he passed away from cancer. Not the actor, but the real guy. I am speaking extemporaneously. I think that means that I'm working without notes. I should make the podcast a little more personal. I'm telling you about the movie and the incident in Atlanta, my hometown. It was during those Olympic Games, and for a few days, it seemed to overpower the focus on the actual Olympic events. We do hope that nothing like that happens for the Tokyo Games coming up this summer. My American son was in Atlanta for the 96 Games and worked at one of the venues because it happened to be on the campus of his school, the Georgia Institute of Technology. The thing about Richard Jewell and Clint Eastwood making such a movie is that that guy was a regular kind of guy. He was not a terrorist. He knew he was innocent. The newspaper just ran away with the story and made it bigger and bigger and bigger. In the movie and in real life, natives of Atlanta refer to the newspaper monopoly there as AJC, because a long time ago, the Atlanta Journal bought out the Atlanta Constitution and therefore eliminated any competition. I might also add that in spite of having no competition, that newspaper, the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, had my respect in a big way because we used to watch the printing. We could actually look in the window and see the big presses working. But when I ran for Congress as a write-in candidate, they told me I needed to publish in the paper my intentions. And I went where it used to be, and it wasn't there. It had moved to the suburbs, way out in Gwinnett County. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution is no longer in Atlanta. I mean the downtown area. I recommend Richard Jewell, the movie, to anyone. Everyone. Mockery rocks. I am Rocky's dad. I call it commentary, but often I'm just giving the news that is old, because I think everybody forgets so easily. Written by Zachary Cohen for CNN. Top U.S. national security officials continue to defend the Trump administration's claim that it killed Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani in response to an imminent threat to American lives. But there's no evidence. President Donald Trump, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and top military officials have offered similar explanations for targeting Soleimani, citing an imminent threat from his plans to carry out what Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Mark Milley called a significant campaign of violence against the U.S. in the coming days, weeks, months, do I hear years, an imminent threat to the people of the USA is totally different from an imminent threat to the President of the United States. Maybe he feels a threat every time he thinks his hair might catch on fire. Would there ever be an imminent threat down in the South Pacific? You know, where the Philippines are located. I've been to the Philippines, but not recently. The Philippines has officially told the U.S. that it is scrapping a security pact that allows U.S. forces to train and take part in joint exercises in the Philippines. Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte has long threatened to move away from the USA, a long-term ally, and pivot toward China. No, I'm not kidding. Sometime in January, President Duterte warned that he would cancel the agreement after the U.S. revoked a travel visa issued to a political ally. Our record date for this Rock of Mockery is the day before Valentine's, I think. How do you feel about Valentine's? Do you buy chocolate? Some people think that Valentine's Day was invented just to sell chocolate. In Japan, it's very different. Valentine's Day was first introduced to Japan in 1936 and has become widely popular, however, because of a translation error made by a chocolate company. Only women buy Valentine chocolates for their spouses or boyfriends or their bosses. Last year, one of the ladies here at the radio station was the only nice lady to gift me with some chocolates. She made it seem so special. So the custom in Japan is to answer the Valentine's gift with a gift back to the lady, but not on Valentine's Day, a month later. They call it White Day. I think if I wanted to imply some intimacy, I would give on White Day some lacy underwear to the lady who gave me chocolate. But I'm a married man, so I didn't do that. Last year I gave her, I think, a scarf, I think. I got my Valentine's information from a source called factretriever.com, and the writer was Karine Lenart, a senior writer at that website. And she also writes about sexual things. For example, having sex at least once per week can lower a man's risk of heart disease by 30%, stroke by 50%, and diabetes by 40%. It has also been shown, by whose research, that men with an active sex life are more likely to live past 80. That little piece of information takes me to this story. A 112-year-old Japanese man who has been recognized as the world's oldest living man cited laughter, not sex, but laughter, as the secret to his longevity. Chitetsu Watanabe, who was born on March 5, 1907, pumped his fist as he was handed a certificate by a Guinness World Records official at his nursing home in Joetsu-ni, Niigata Prefecture in Japan, where he resides. He is in good health, according to that nursing home. He has a daughter who is 78 years of age. In interviews, they failed to ask the important question, when was the last time you got a little? How long ago did you last enjoy something sexual? Here's another old story left over from October. An ambitious new Arctic oil project led by Russia's top oil producer, Rosneft, will require about 10 trillion rubles, which amounts to about $157 billion of investment. Russia's Deputy Energy Minister Pavel Sorokin told reporters. Vostok Oil, a joint project of Rosneft and Independent Petroleum Company, which is the actual name of the company, is set to include some oil fields that are already producing and others which have yet to produce, including Rosneft's Vankor Group and IPC's Payakskoye field. The government has broadly agreed to a new tax relief program to help develop the Arctic, seen as a new oil-producing region in Russia. Does that sound like good news? Is good news for the country of Russia good news for the President of the United States? Let's just let that question hang there. And then let me say that my advice to the candidates for the Democratic nomination to go against the President of the United States is that you have to set a target date for no longer allowing auto companies to produce new cars that use only petroleum products. It's for the environment. If you're looking to make big profits from big oil, and big oil is all about increasing profits and increasing carbon, CO2, in the atmosphere. It's a crying shame, I say. And now I say what I always say. Maintain your cool, in spite of all the people that want to add nasty things to the atmosphere. And I also want to say thank you very much for listening to Mockery Rocks.